All right, so today I just want to talk about to my brother and kind of a simple topic, short teaching. I want to talk about cleanliness is next to godliness exposed. Yeah, just a quick teaching on this. I want to refute this man-made mantra, and I heard it a lot. This is kind of meaningful to me. I heard it a lot as a kid growing up. I didn't grow up in a religious family, but my grandma used to always say, cleanliness is next to godliness. She used to say that all the time. She was an old washerwoman from Europe, but she was like a neat freak. And she used to say this all the time. And I guess I grew up probably in the back of my mind thinking, well, that must be true if she says it, not knowing I should be testing things to the Word of God before I was born again. But I think you're going to find, as you ponder this, cleanliness next to godliness is not a scriptural idea. It's like so many things. This is why I wanted to bring this, to kind of get you testing everything you believe, even if grandma told you it. What does God's word say, if anything, about it? And I think what you're going to find is many of the ideas that we have today have come from man-made, false traditions, false platitudes, false claims, false statements. Let me just give you a few examples to kind of set it up here. Eve gave Adam that apple to eat. You won't find that in scripture, but I grew up hearing about that from just people telling me about, oh, Eve and the apple, but you won't find an apple anywhere in the scriptures that I know of. How about the famous three wise men around Christmas time? Well, Christmas is a man-made invention. Three wise men are also a man-made invention. How about the famous Apostles' Creed that was not written by the apostles? I remember when I learned that. When I was a young man, I started dabbling in evangelicalism, and they would read the Apostles' Creed all the time. When I studied it out and found out that the apostles didn't write that creed, I was like livid. Because I'm like, wow, were they deceiving us, telling us this is the Apostles' Creed? They didn't even write it. So it's another false idea. How about faith alone for salvation? How about grace alone for salvation? You won't find that in any scriptures whatsoever. How about Good Friday? It's a religious holiday, Good Friday. It's another lie. Jesus didn't even die on Friday. It doesn't meet the 3 days and three nights to their Sunday morning resurrection, Easter. No, Jesus died Wednesday. He rose Saturday. He's our Sabbath rest. I have an article on that at the teaching blog from don'tperish.com. How about this one? Unconditional love of God. Yeah, you can have the unconditional love of God. There's only one problem. It doesn't exist. It's another man-made mantra from false religion and philosophies of churchianity systems. And then finally, you know, Jesus was a friend of sinners. You will find that in scripture, but it's not true. His enemies lied and said he was a glutton, a wine bibber, and that he was a friend of the sinner. So it's just not true. Jesus wasn't a friend of sinners. I just wanted to throw a few of those out there. If you think about it, you could probably think of a bunch more that you either one time believed, or maybe you believe yet and you need to test these false man-made ways. So cleanliness is next to godliness is just another false teaching and a false mantra. In the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, it reminds us, warns us of not adding or taking away from God's word. And I didn't do much history study on this. I focus on God's word. I don't really focus on history much. But they say that this term, cleanliness is next to godliness, came from ages ago. And some people claim that it was all rooted in the ancients' belief about the Israelites and their cleanliness, and that they had to keep certain standards of Torah. And while that was true, there was ritual cleansing, there was defilement, there was all of that, that in no way applies to us in the new covenant today as we are in Christ. If you keep looking in history, you'll find that John Wesley, the heretic evangelical founder of the Methodist faith, really gets labeled as the founder of this modern-day statement. I guess it comes from a sermon of his in 1791. That's what I found. And they say he was a clean freak, by the way, like my grandma. That's what history says. But again, cleanliness is next to godliness. Not one Bible verse supports this idea that if you are clean in your physical ways, that you're going to be godly and pleasing to God in your spiritual ways. We just don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Clean hands and such are just not really important to God in the new covenant. We're cleansed by Christ. This is the most important cleansing we get. 1 Corinthians 6:11. But such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the ecclesia of the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, or washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious ecclesia, church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we see that Jesus cleanses us. And so God's not interested in this physical cleanliness that people talk about. In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 15:11, when the Pharisees, or it was involving talking about what people would eat. Jesus said this, "It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defile a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." So this was about in reference to the type of foods you eat. And Hebrews 9:10-11. Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ being come on the high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. And if you read in Matthew 15, Jesus directly calls out the Pharisees, verses 2 to 3. They said, "Why do you your disciples, I almost said apostles, why do thy disciples transgress against the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." This is not a biblical command, by the way. "But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your own tradition?" So this is not a new covenant command that we wash our hands before we eat bread. There's not one scripture verse in the New Testament. Yeah, there's Old Testament cleanliness verses. We're not under the old law anymore. There's not one New Testament verse that supports cleanliness is next to godliness. Baptism, some people would say, "Oh, look at baptism." Well, that's a symbolic water cleansing. Acts 22:16. "And now why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." People make the mistake of seeing the symbolic cleansing and trying to tie it to any kind of physical cleanliness. Again, there's not one scripture in the New Testament that shows us clean ways are godly ways, physically clean ways. But here's where I want to switch it to maybe make it a little bit more sense to us. Give us some reasoning to, okay, if cleanliness is not next to godliness, well, what could we say? Well, the Bible actually does teach this, ready? Orderly. If I could say orderliness, if there is such a word, is next to godliness. 1 Corinthians 14:33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints," ecclesia. 1 Corinthians 14:40. "Let all things be done decently," and in cleanliness? No, in order, "and in the body," Titus 1:5. "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee." And then 1 Timothy 3:4-5, it calls the leaders to what? "That one ruleth his house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if any man not know how to rule his house, How shall he take care of the ecclesia of God? So order, rule, his house must be orderly. That would kind of go in line there as well. So I want to switch up the idea of cleanliness to orderliness, or to be orderly. And I would say this to anyone that asks the question, well, does that mean we don't have to have cleanliness at all? I would say that per scripture, like being a messy person is not necessarily sin per scripture by a verse here or verse there, but it would show if your car, your house, your own personal self was totally in a disarray, totally in a mess. I think that would show that you're not in order. And so I think there's kind of a fine line there. We want to be good witnesses in all things that we do. We want to be blameless. So I don't think any of us brethren would be inspecting a brother's apartment in the corners for dust balls or top of the refrigerator for grease or dust. But I think, as I tell the brothers, I think it would be proper that we always present ourselves, our vehicles, if someone's going to ride in it, our homes, and even our body life in an orderly fashion, so that if someone new was coming in, they wouldn't be stumbled. They wouldn't say, oh man, these people are pigs. These people are disorderly. These people are slobs. They're lazy, ready? Laziness is called out in God's word. And so if we're not keeping up things that are should be in order, we could be called lazy. And maybe that's where some of that cleanliness comes from. But I don't think you can tie it together that closely. Cleanliness is next to godliness is really not a biblical concept. Order is next to godliness. The Bible calls that out in various places, as I read to you. So we want to be good witnesses. We want to be orderly, having homes and our body and our cars in order, even ourselves as we dress our temples. None of us are going to care if you got a spot on your tunic, your long untucked shirt, or on your pants, or ladies on your dress, or your head covering. That doesn't mean you're in sin. Now, if someone shows up and they're totally disheveled and they're not doing anything, well, that would be the next extreme and you wouldn't be in order. So just ponder this topic. Cleanliness is next to godliness, and strike it as just another man-made false way. And then think about all the things you think of, maybe things you say, maybe things you've believed as a youth like me that may not be true at all. And then go to God's word and test it out and see that which is true, and follow along those lines in order for God's glory. Cleanliness next to godliness definitely is not a biblical concept. Order next to godliness. God does want his people. He's a God of order. He wants us to be in order, and I think we need to do so to be good witnesses and so that we can stand and glorify the Lord. So I appreciate you listening. I hope that blessed you with that common phrase. Worldly people say it all the time. Churchianity people say it all the time. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You're not going to find it in Scripture unless someone can enlighten me where it is. But definitely I hope you're walking in order for God's glory. Let's leave it right there and let me know if I can help you in any other ways. Make sure you're living for the gospel most of all. You want your life to be in order? Believe on Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection and his shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. Repent, throw yourself at the mercy and the grace of God and turn from all false ways and be born again by the Spirit of God. I'm preaching the gospel to you. And then the Holy Spirit will bring order into your life as you follow the truth, walk in holiness and obedience and endure. Your life's going to be in order for God's glory, and it's also going to be a light to people around you. Let me know I can help you in that. This will be up at the Ecclesia area, and then I think my brothers will have some things to say about it as well on a separate audio. Thanks for listening. God be praised.